I want to speak this morning on that little line read a while ago, as a bride adorned for a husband. It says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. One of my favorite things to do is to find a scripture I couldn't understand and all of a sudden understand it. There's so many scriptures I can't totally comprehend. And this is one of them. I've never understood this passage until recently. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. How could a city be a bride? It bothered me and bothered me and bothered me. That city of buildings is not a bride. A bride is flesh and blood. And the bride of Christ will be flesh and bone in the glorified body. But he said, this city with gates of pearl and streets of gold and wall of jasper, this city with mansions and tree of life and the river of life and all of that, comes down as a bride adorned for a husband. I know what it means now, and I think it's a wonderful text. I want to share it with you. But before I pray, I want to remind you, this is Lord's Supper morning. I know it is 19 minutes until 12, and you're wondering what time you'll get to Teeble's or McDonald's, according to your financial condition. But I assure you that I will finish preaching within 29 minutes from right now, as I always tell you, and I always keep the promise, except when I don't. But I always keep it. I will finish preaching on or before 10 minutes after 12, if I can get started. And we'll be gone from here. The closing prayer will be given before 12:30. That's a promise, and as you know, I've never broken that promise in all these years. Our Heavenly Father, I've been reveling lately in this passage. I rejoice in it. I hope my people today will equally rejoice. I hope that they will see the wonderful, wonderful teaching here. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Bless our message this morning to our hearts, to the rejoicing of God's people and the salvation of those who are not. In Jesus' name, amen. I should, before I begin the sermon, I should give you that wonderful passage that is a similar passage. Jesus said to the disciples at the very place when they started the Lord's Supper, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you." Don't forget that little line. I go and prepare a place for you. Now compare that to coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. I go to prepare a place for you. You have a wonderful, wonderful future. You have no concept of the future that you have. None. Not much is said in the Bible about heaven. If I were God, I'd have put 50 chapters in the Bible about heaven. I'd have written a whole book about heaven. If I were God, also this universe would be in a mess. But I've often wondered why God didn't say more about heaven. After all, that's going to be our hometown forever. It's just a matter of a few hours, so all of us are going to be there who are saved. And I still wonder why God didn't say more about heaven. In fact, good night. He took Paul up there and let him see it and hear it, and then would let him tell us what he saw. That peeves me. I mean, here's the guy. He took Paul and said, look at here. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. Now go back down and don't tell Hiles what I said. That upsets me. The things I disagree with God on. Every time we disagreed, he's always been right. Well, most of the time. But that bothers me. Why in the name of common sense didn't it tell us more about heaven? Now, I don't know why he didn't, but the truth is he didn't. But he does tell us right here. John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. Don't forget that verse back in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I found out what it means. It does not mean this holy city is a bride. It does not mean that heaven is called a bride in the Bible. It means that God has worked in preparing heaven as a bride works in preparing for her wedding. Isn't that good? Well, I think it's good whether you do or not. And if you don't think it's good, I will break my promise about 12:10. We're going to stay here and you think it's good. Isn't that good? Okay. One of the guys said this morning in the office, he said, if CNN can give us the world in 22 minutes, why can't you give us a sermon in 22 minutes? So I'm going to do it. Probably the most prepared event on the face of the earth is a wedding. Probably the most preparation for any human event is for a wedding. Now, we've had three daughters to get married. It cost me over $100 every time. Well over $100. But after a while, I'll be in my office and the couples who want to set wedding dates will be there. And we'll discuss their wedding. Now then, that sets in order an amazing thing. I never have understood. I'm not a woman, I never have understood why young ladies say, I'm going to take a semester off from college to prepare for my wedding. A whole stupid semester? I wouldn't let my daughters do it because that preparation is money spending time. Now, what God is saying here, God is saying, I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem, look at me now, coming down from God out of heaven as prepared by God for his people as a bride is prepared for her groom when she gets married. Isn't that good? You don't want to get out 12:10, do you? Now, I'm saying, I was round three times. When Cindy and Linda and Becky each walked down this very aisle here to get married, there was an awful lot behind that proposal. The rings, the setting of the date, the choosing of the place. When a bride and groom decide to get married, the choosing of the preacher, the choosing of the maid of honor, choosing of bridesmaids, the choosing of ushers, the choosing of the wedding gown or wedding dress, the choosing of the colors of the wedding, the choosing of the attendants' dresses, the ordering of the flowers, the choosing of the flowers, the ordering of the cake, the getting of the candles, the choosing of the singers, the choosing of the accompanists, the choosing of the songs, the choosing of the nursery workers, the choosing of the ring bearer, the choosing of the flower girl, the choosing of the tuxedos, the purchasing, choosing, purchasing and mailing of the invitations, the decisions concerning the receiving line, the plans for the reception, the plans for the rehearsal itself, the rehearsal dinner, the shower, the choosing of the silver, the choosing of the china, the choosing of the crystal, the guest register, the bridal bouquet, the plan for the honeymoon, the reading of books to prepare yourself to be a wife, the choosing of a place to live. These are just a few of the things that you do in preparation for a wedding. And by the time you get all of this done, you've forgotten whom you're marrying. But I'm saying that God, see, God has to choose illustrations that we understand. And so God looked down and he said, now, what event is the most planned for on earth? And the average person, what is the thing that is the most planned in his life? And God said, I guess the average person spends more time and money and effort preparing for his wedding or her wedding than any other single event. And God said, okay, I can't tell my people how much time I've spent and how hard it's been and all the preparation I made for them. I can't explain. They wouldn't understand if I talked in my language, so I'll put it in their language and I'll choose the event that is the event most prepared for by human beings, and that's a wedding. And God said, I want to tell you what heaven's like. He said, it comes down from God out of heaven. He said, prepare with all of the intensity and all of the love and all of the price and all the activity and all the preparation. But he said, let's see what my people understand better. As a bride, he is prepared for her husband. That's what John, by the way, John, you could say this. You could say, as pastor school is prepared for the delegates. We spend literally thousands and thousands of man hours and woman hours planning for pastor school. Literally thousands of that. And God could have said, here's the holy city coming down from God out of heaven prepared as pastor school is prepared for its delegates. And God is saying, I want you to know how hard I've prepared for you. Hey, what a wonderful future God has for you. And if omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence has prepared for all of these years, and God said, as a bride prepares for her husband, I have prepared for you. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. The haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And God is tempted trying to tell you how hard he's been. Now, hey, you listen to me. If God's prepared that hard, you don't accept his invitation. That is an insult of insult. I mean, God has prepared and is preparing a home in heaven for you so beautiful that he's prepared for 2,000 years with all the intensity that a bride uses in preparing for 6 months. How dare you turn him down? How dare you say no to his gift of heaven? Actually, when John 14, 1 through 3 mentions it, it says, I go to prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare. He didn't say, I go prepare, prepare, place up. Let there be a heaven. No, God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and keep on preparing. Let me take you on a tour today. Let me take you on a drive today. Let me show you the oceans and lakes and rivers and ponds and seas and streams and creeks. Let me show you the mighty Pacific. Let me show you the great Atlantic Ocean. Let me show you Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and Lake Huron and Lake Erie and Lake Ontario. Let me show you the Amazon, the Mississippi, the Nile, the Ganges. Let me show you the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Missouri. Let me show you the Jordan, the Sea of Galilee, Mediterranean Sea. Let me show you the Dead Sea and the Aegean Sea. Let me show you the Great Salt Lake and the Red Sea. Let me show you the rain, the snow, the mist, the fog, and the clouds. And let me remind you that it took God one day for that. One day. Hey, listen. One day. And he said, for 2,000 years, I've been getting ready for you. Boy, you folks are not going to go to heaven. You're going to miss it all. Absolutely. You're stupid. I mean, you're stupid.
So am I.
You're stupid. Hey, you're stupid. I mean,
for 2,000. Look at the Atlantic, the ocean, all the rivers, the seas, the lakes, the ponds, the streams, the rills. Look at the sun, the mist and the rain and the snow. And look at all of it and realize that all the mighty oceans and lakes and rivers. Hey, I'm saying, if you're not going to go to heaven, you're foolish. The guy walked up to you and said, I want to give you $1 million house. You'd say, don't pressure me. It's got 16 bedrooms and 14 baths. Think of that. We'd have to clean your bathroom but once every 14 days. If your wife was gone for 2 weeks, she would never have to clean the bathroom. I'm saying, if somebody walked up to you, hey, I got 14 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms. How many bedrooms? 16 and 14 bathrooms. Yeah, two of those bedrooms share a bath. But I'll give you $1 million house. I mean, it's got tennis courts and swimming pools and it's got everything. Michael Jackson couldn't afford that for himself and all his boys. And I want to give it to you. And you say, don't you pressure me. You're an idiot. E-D-E-O-T-T, idiot. Hey, folks, I'm talking about a place here that $1 million couldn't buy the front doorknob to. Stakes of pearl, steets of gold, gates of pearl, streets of gold, no death, no heartache, no cancer, no tuberculosis, no AIDS, no funeral homes, no cemeteries, no tuberculosis. I'm saying no tears, no heartache, no heartbreak, no broken dreams, no broken hearts, no broken aspirations. I'm saying, hey, God has offered you a place. Let me say, you're crazy if you don't take it. I mean, crazy. Let me show you for a few minutes, little tour. Let me show you the oak tree and the willow tree and the maple and the pine and the spruce and the sequoia and the redwood. Let me show you the myrtle, the palm and the fir, and let me show you the walnut and the peach tree and the pear tree and the apple tree and the dogwood tree and the magnolia tree. Let me show you the plum tree and let me show you the rose, the gardenia, the tulip, the carnation, the orchid, the pansy, the gladiola, the chrysanthemum, the lily, and the azalea. Let me show you the grass, the hedge, the ivy, the tomatoes, the beans, the peas, the potatoes, the cauliflower, the eggplant, the okra, the spinach, the turnip greens, the mustard greens, the collard greens, the broccoli, the lettuce, the cabbage. Let me show you the wheat and the oats and the barley and the corn. Let me show you the strawberry and the blueberry and the blackberry. Let me show you the beets and the rice. I'm simply saying, let me show you all the things that God made, all of his plants and trees. Hey, took him one day for all of it. One day. Man, can you imagine what kind of trees he could make in 2,000 years? And you say, I'm just not ready. Your IQ is a half of one. You're an imbecile. I mean, your elevator didn't go over the top floor. Your cheese is falling out of your sandwich. You're crazy. Do you understand? You say, well, how much this place cost? That's the thing about it. It's free. It's a gift. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. Coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. All those at work and planning. You know, before I prepared this sermon, I thought girls shouldn't take a semester off to prepare for their wedding. Now I'm going to suggest you take a year off. In fact, if you do, we'll expel you. You won't even have to come back at all. But I'm simply saying, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You don't understand. Elaine understands it some because she worked. The rehearsal itself is a happening. I mean, you got to get some money to pay the organist and to pay the singer and to pay the custodian. And of course, nobody pays the preacher, but because he won't take it. But I'm saying all of this detail, it takes you 3 weeks to choose a cake. And the flowers. I think one of our girls, I went with her looking for the flowers. We went to 17,000 florists.
I'm trying to say that there's nothing, that there's no hour in the life of a young lady like the hour when they play the wedding march and she walks down the aisle, and all of the days and weeks and months and hours of preparation. And God said with that same intensity, I prepared a place for you. It's taken me 2,000 years. Let me take you on a little tour. Let me take you out in the forest. Let me show you the bear, the deer, the cow and the steer and the elk and the sheep and the fox and the wolf and the lion and the tiger. Let me show you the elephant and the giraffe and the zebra. Let me show you the rabbit and the squirrel and the leopard and the hyena and the rhinoceros. Let me show you the monkey and the apes and the baboons and the serpents and worms and lizards. Let me show you the geese and the ducks and the pelican and the pheasant. Let me show you the parrot and the wren, the bluebird, the blue jay, the oriole. Let me show you the sparrow and the raven and the peacock and the parakeet. Let me show you the woodpecker and the mockingbird and the eagle and the crow and the miner and the robin and the quail. Let me show you all of those. And let me show you the trout and the cod and the catfish and the bass and the perch and the turtle and the crab and the shrimp and the halibut and the sailfish and the whale and the crappie and the bluegill and the salmon and the tuna and the dolphin and the minnow and the crawfish and the carp and the swordfish and the bass and the black bass and the lobster and the clam and the whitefish and the goldfish and the kingfish and the barracuda. And let me show you the shellfish. Let me show you all of these things, all the creatures in the sky, all the beasts and animals that roam the earth, and all the fish in the sea.
One day, I've heard of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the happy and free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I don't know how beautiful it is because God wouldn't let Paul tell me. But I'll tell you what, I can look and see what God did with all the waters of the world in one day, and then one day I can look and see what God did with all the plant life, and one day I can look and see what God did with all the living creatures and realize that in 3 days God made every fish that swims in the sea and all the seas in which the fish swim and all the waters and lakes and multitudes of formations of water, and God made all the birds that fly the air, and it was 3 days, and God made everything in 6 days. And he said, I'm not going to tell you what it's like. It's got a street of gold. It's a pearl, but I'm not going to tell you all what it's like. Brother, if my mama came back today and walked down that aisle, I said, Mama, come up here and tell us what it's like. If she told you what it's like, you wouldn't believe her. You don't even believe it has golden streets. You wouldn't believe her. God said, I am going to prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare a place for you. And when I let you see it, it'll be prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I have the same intensity of a bride getting ready for 6 months for a wedding, and yet I'm going to do it for 2,000 years at least and getting ready for you. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't you let this scare you too much.
Time I think about that, I think the old story I told about Dr. Rice. He and I were in a restaurant. He had preached hard the night before. I mean, he had called every sin and most of the names and matched the sin with the names. We ate dinner that night in a restaurant in the motel. He walked out and a guy took a gun, pointed a gun at his stomach. I laughed. I stood there and laughed. Dr. Rice had a big stomach. He pointed a gun at Dr. Rice's stomach and he said, I'm going to blow your brains out. I wasn't laughing because Dr. Rice is going to get his brains blown out. I was laughing because where his brains are. He pointed at his big old stomach, big old pot belly, and he said, but if stomach were in your brains, you'd be a PhD, an Einstein. Listen, folks. Dr. Rice looked at that man with that gun pointed right toward his stomach and said, you ain't going to scare me with heaven, buddy. Don't you let death scare you too much. It's just a vestibule to a place that's taken God 2,000 years to get ready for you. Now, I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven, but I want to bypass the dying part. In fact, old Dr. R.B. Lakin says, they say everybody dies within so many miles of his house. More people die Then either way, it's so many miles to your house. He said, I'm not getting that close to my house. He said, I'm going to find out where I'm supposed to die. If God's ordained where I'm supposed to die, I'm going to find out where I'm supposed to die, and I'm not going to go there. Praise God. Listen, folks, we're just here for a while. I mean, we're just renting this earth for a little while. I mean, somebody else is going to be sleeping in the shade of your tree in just a little while. And somebody else can be using your bathtub that you should have used more often than you did in just a little while. I mean, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel much at home in this world anymore. Praise God. Folks, listen to me. Don't get too attached down here. Oh, Brother Howard, I'm afraid I'm going to die. Well, go ahead and do it. It's not real bad. I'll bind you one thing. If my mama could come back today, she wouldn't. No way she'd come back if she could come back. Jesus said, I'm coming to show you my city. Actually, your city. I'm going to show it to you. I've been preparing it for 2,000 years. Now, wait a minute. Heaven is a prepared place. Check my treble, please. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. But here's the wonderful thing about it. 2,000 years he's been preparing heaven for you, and you can be a prepared person in 1 second. Only those who are prepared will go to this prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now I haven't got time to do what I want to do. I'd like to go on down and show you some of the things he lists that he's been doing for these 2,000 years. He talks about the throne of God. He talks about the walls 216 feet high. He talks about the walls of jasper. He talks about the 12 foundations, the precious stone. He talks about the size of heaven, 12,000 furlongs long, 12,000 furlongs wide, and 12,000 furlongs high. A furlong an eighth of a mile, which means heaven is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high, a perfect cube. He talks about heaven as a place where there's no tears or death or sorrow or crying or pain or fearful or unbelieving, abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, liars, and idolaters. He lists those things, plus many other things. He tells about the river of life, but best of all, it says, the Lamb, that's Jesus, is the light in the city. Best of all, we'll see Him. May I close with this. I feel so unnecessary at weddings. I have, you know, I prepare for them too, but nobody knows it. I take a bath before weddings. I brush my teeth. I always wear a dark suit. I walk out there and stand here. Nobody looks at me. I want to throw. Out comes the bride or the groom. And they look at that idiot. Here's what I want to get at. All of a sudden, dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And everybody goes. And I am totally forsaken right up here on the platform. Nobody gives a flip about me. I could sing, nobody would even know it. I quote the Gettysburg Address and folks wouldn't even have said a word. But here's what I get at. Who gives a bride away? If he's a real man, I do. He's henpecked, her mother and I. Or is, what's the missionary in Australia? Nordman. He said, I don't know. He totally went out of it. But here's what happens. They get up here, and I say, John and Mary, and here they are over here. Come here. We're not going to kiss. We ain't kissing. Don't worry about it. Stand right here. I say, John and Mary, and they just... Why is she laughing? Thank you. All they do is look at each other.
Brother, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see golden streets and gates of pearl. I'm going to see a bunch of stuff. I don't know what I'm going to, but I tell you what I'm going to do first. For a couple of hundred years, I'm just going to look at Jesus, my bridegroom. Man alive, come on and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Just bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, how wonderful it must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. The haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Thank you for these 2,000 years. You've been preparing a place that will come to us as prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What a wonderful future we have. Now, Father, there are those today who have not prepared for the prepared place. They've never trusted Christ. They've never said yes to the gospel of grace. I pray this morning they shall do so.